This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter replied, "Then, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Jesus continued, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me as just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Good evening. My name is Beth Dixon, and I have to tell you that this tonight is one of my favorite worship services of the year. It reminds me of a book that my kids and I read when they were little, where the main character could transport herself into the book that she was reading and live there. And I think that's a little bit of what this service is. It's a way to enter into the story of Jesus' Last Supper and really his last time. It's a chance to do that. But if I'm being completely honest, it's kind of surprising that I could tell you that this is my favorite service, because like Patrick was saying earlier, I get a little uncomfortable about the foot washing. I get a little nervous and I squirm a little bit, right? And it's partly just like the natural thing. Like, I have really big feet. They're not pretty and they're so ticklish, you know? So it's partly that, but it's partly that really entering into the story means that I feel things, that I'm moved. I do more than just like think deeply about Jesus. I start to feel unworthy, and I start to feel a little unsettled when I put myself in the place of the characters in our story tonight. So why is this my favorite service? I think it's maybe because in that squirming, in that feeling unsettled, I know that I really am present to not just what's happening here in this room, but what we're remembering in Scripture. In our passage, Jesus made the 12 a little uncomfortable, right? He's intentionally acting in a way that the disciples will remember even though they don't have a clue what's going on in the moment, what Jesus is doing or why. And so I want to invite you to enter into this story tonight. Maybe even enough to feel a little bit of that unsettledness, that surprise, that unexpected nature of what happens in our story. To enter in, not just have to have an experience tonight, but to enter in order to really live in the story tonight, and maybe even enough that when we're walking out of here, you're still living in that story. In our passage tonight, Jesus bucks the protocol, doesn't he? There's a protocol for dinner. There's a thing that you do when you invite people over in this time. And part of that is you welcome guests by having the lowliest servant wash their feet. And that didn't happen. Jesus washed their feet. Jesus, who's the head, he's the teacher, he's due some respect and some honor, and instead, he takes on that role of the lowliest servant. This was his last dinner with his friends, his last sort of regular time with them, and he chose to take on that unexpected and kind of unsettling role because it's a story about love. The disciples know that this is Passover time, and this is a time to celebrate that what God had done for them in the past, freeing the people from slavery in Egypt. But what they don't know is that this dinner, this celebration, is a launching of something new that God is doing to free everyone who believes in him because of his love. So this is a story about love. We can tell it from beginning to end of the passage. The passage starts by talking about Jesus saying he loved them to the end. And the passage ends by Jesus saying three times, love one another, love one another, love one another. Do you think that must have been important to him? So after this dinner, Jesus says a lot to his disciples in what has become known as the farewell discourse. He tells them he's going to go and prepare a place for them. He tells them that the Holy Spirit is coming. He tells them that their grief will turn to joy. But this act of washing the disciples' feet is his last action with them. And so the disciples' last memories of him are all those beautiful words that they make sense of for the rest of their life, right? But it's also this tangible act of love. It reminded me of a story. So several years ago, a friend of mine's brother was dying, and she was sitting by his bedside, and she was holding his hand, and all of a sudden, he was just squeezing her hand so hard it hurt, and he wasn't saying anything. He was just squeezing her hand, and she doesn't know, but she wonders if he just ran out of words to be able to tell her, I love you. I know where I'm going and I'm going to be okay. And I want you to remember this moment. My friend, she just had to guess, but we don't have to. We know that Jesus did this act of love and service out of love. He did a physical thing for them that was a precursor to what he was going to do for them spiritually. Right? So we read that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he'd come from God and he was returning to God. He knew where he was going. But this passage, it means, is not just a passage about love. It's a passage about power. And what do we do with power when we have it? As we read this now, we know that Jesus is about to do something even more sacrificial than just taking on the role of a servant. He's about to give up his life out of love. And his love was extravagant, and it was unprecedented, it was unorthodox, and it was reckless to some, because he gave up his power because he loved them. And Jesus said to his friends, now that I have done this, have washed your feet, you should also wash each other's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You know, sometimes in the Bible, it's hard to understand what Jesus means, but he is really practical and really clear here. Do this. Do as I have done. So what does that mean for us? What are we supposed to do? What's the modern day equivalent of foot washing? Because I don't think we're called to go everywhere and actually wash people's feet, like in our workplaces and things. So I bet that the modern day equivalent is something different for each of our contexts. I want you to think about at work. What's something that's not your job, that someone else does? Someone who's got a little less power or clout than you, maybe someone who's beneath you. What's something that they do? Would you be willing to do that out of love for someone else? Or think about in our relationships. What do you take for granted that your friend or your spouse or your family is going to do? Would you do that thing instead of them out of love? Tonight, you know, Patrick said, absolutely, this having your feet washed is anyone can, no one has to. But so tonight, whether you come forward to let someone wash your feet or whether you stay in your seat, I invite you to think about what Jesus has done for you. And I want you to let him speak to you about a particular way that he's calling you to love someone, to serve someone, as he has done for us. What act of love or service is he going to put in your mind that he wants you to do? It may be simple. It may just even come to you tonight as you're sitting here. Or it may be more complicated than that. It may take a few days to understand what God is calling you to do, to a person to love or a service to enact. And it might be unsettling because that's how we're called to love. Okay, what if that thing that comes to mind, what if that person, what if they don't deserve it? That's when we think about Judas, because Judas didn't deserve it, and Jesus washed his feet anyway, and that's what we're called to do. What if that person that we're called to serve or that act, what if they won't understand? What if they won't get it? And that's why we have Peter's example. Peter didn't have a clue why Jesus was doing what he was doing. And Jesus loved him anyway, and he served him. Jesus says that you will be blessed when you do this. So the mandate, the Maundy Thursday mandate, is to love like Jesus. And the blessing is to see Jesus' love transform the people and the situations around us, and even to transform us. Because the thing is, when we love sacrificially, when we serve sacrificially, we become the kind of people who love like Jesus. And when we make that a habit, then we become more like Jesus. And that's my prayer for us tonight. So can I pray for us? Lord, we thank you that Jesus knew exactly who he was, where he came from, and where he was going. Lord, I pray that for everyone here tonight, that each of us would know that we belong to you, that you're with us right now, and that we can go and be with you forever. So Lord, as we listen tonight, do speak to our minds. Have an image or a word or something pop in our minds that you would like us to do, a person to serve or a way to serve, so that we can walk out of here continuing on this kind of love. In Jesus' name, amen.